Romans chapter number 12, once again. Last week we were looking at the matter of Christian duty as it relates to our duty to sacrifice. And I said we were going to continue on that theme and look at this passage just a little bit closer. We looked at the actual principles of sacrifice last week. And once we hear God's call to be saved and we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, you know, it behooves us to press forward in our Christian life. There ought not to be any looking back. It ought to be like we sing in the song sometimes, "I have decided to follow Jesus." No turning back. And Paul said in Philippians 3:14, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Well, that was good for the Apostle Paul, but it's also good for us. Are you pressing toward what the Lord would have in your life? All of us who know the Lord ought to be pressing toward the mark. We must guard against becoming lackadaisical in our Christian walk, Christian life. It's easy for us to do, isn't it? You know, you ever feel like your life sometimes just shifted in neutral? And you're just kind of gliding along? You're not really in drive. You're just kind of going with the flow. The momentum is carrying you instead of the Lord's grace working in your life and putting you where you need to be. You know, what God wants from us is for us to be totally dedicated and committed to Him. It's easy for us who are saved to get self-satisfied when we begin comparing ourselves to other people. We just have to realize other people are not the standard. Jesus Christ is our standard. I think the Apostle Paul understood this in a great way. Had Paul compared himself with others, he would have been tempted to be proud, no doubt. Because as you look at his life, very few Christians could measure up to the Apostle Paul. But nevertheless, Paul didn't compare himself with others. He compared himself with Jesus Christ. And in our text this evening, we see the Apostle Paul understood what it meant to be totally committed to Christ. Let's read verse 1 and 2 here. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, after Paul's conversion, Paul proclaimed the gospel with the same intensity and zeal that he had poured into being anti-Christian. Remember, before he was a persecutor of the church, and he was full of zeal, but he was full of zeal without knowledge. You know, just as much as we went for the world and lived life to its fullest as we could, that old life, that old wretched, sinful life, we just, you know, got ourselves all consumed in sin. The same way we poured ourselves into that, we ought to pour ourselves into Christ's life. And we know that Paul was determined and committed to the call of Christ in his life, and he had decided that he would serve Christ no matter what, whether he lived or died. He didn't care whether he lived or died. He knew that to die, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. He knew that if he lived, that it was better for those that he was ministering to, because he can't very well minister to anybody from the grave. And he wanted to be able to minister to the churches and try to help the churches. And he said, you know, it's better for me if I stick around. Better for you if I stick around. Better for me if I go on to be with the Lord. And I think we understand that. Well, you know, God wants from us also that very same commitment. that we're going to serve Christ no matter whether we live or die. Those that are saved ought to pour themselves into the Christian life and give it their all. Now, the thing that mattered most to the Apostle Paul was that Christ be exalted in his life. He didn't want folks to see him. He wanted folks to be able to see Jesus. And he wanted to proclaim the gospel. Of course, that's what he was called to do, was proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we, as Christians, we have been given the Great Commission to share the gospel of Christ. And listen, you know, I understand Paul's desire for these churches. His desire for the Roman church was for them to be absolutely, positively, totally committed to the Lord. There's not a church I've pastored. There's not a group of guys in the prison that I pastored them. There was no formal church, but I pastored them. But I wanted the same thing for every church that I've been a part of, that I've helped minister to. I wanted folks to totally follow the Lord, be fully committed to God, and to give their life for Christ. Paul spent his life not only taking the gospel to unbelievers, but also in writing and urging other believers to be strong in their commitment and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the church at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's good word for us too. Amen. That's why the Lord allowed it to be put into the Scripture. Because the Lord wants us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Storms may come in our lives and the winds may try to blow us off our spiritual feet, so to speak. But we need to just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Now, in this passage of Scripture before us, Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, and he's urging them to totally commit themselves to Christ. He calls them brethren, and which means that they had already made a decision to follow Christ. Christ is their Savior. They're part of the local body there, they're part of the church. They believed and professed Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Paul here doesn't question their salvation at all, not questioning that. But there's something that they desperately needed. They needed to move on to total commitment in their lives. Now, if Paul were writing this today, no doubt he might say what is needed in the church today is we need more 24/7, 365 Christians. Now, you know what I'm talking about. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know, there's some people today who have those 24/7, 365 jobs. I mean, they're on call all the time. Doesn't mean that they're at the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Nobody could withstand that. But at a moment's notice, their job requires them to be so committed that they could be there called to work anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. They could receive a phone call at any hour saying they're needed and they would go. Now, what Paul's saying, we need folks in the church, Christians who are ready. Christians who are ready, available and ready for God's service all the time and any time. And when I use the terminology 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Christianity, I don't mean to imply that your salvation can be put off and taken on. We're talking about commitment to what Christ has for you. I want to preach about what it means to be totally committed to sacrifice. And total commitment means being 100% sold out to the Lord. And Paul talks in verse 1 here about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. Paul says, I beseech you. And I think it's important to see Paul is urging these folks to commit. And tonight I want to urge you, as your pastor, to commit yourself to the Lord. Total commitment, something that you got to choose. If it was something I could choose for you, I would choose for you, but I can't make the choice. You can either do it or not do it. The choice is up to you. No one's going to make you. Nobody's going to force you to be totally committed to anything. Now, I'm very aware that I can't make anybody in this church or anywhere else do anything. Don't have that kind of power. I can't make any of you serve Christ or this church in any capacity. If you're going to do something for the Lord, it's going to be voluntary. You're going to say, look, you know, I want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. The only thing I can do is preach and teach the Word of God like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul could not make the Romans do what he's talking about here. He just preached the Word to them. He gave them this thought. And I'm going to preach the truth to you tonight. But it's up to you to walk in the light. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's ask the question, why should we give ourselves as a living sacrifice? In other words, why should we be totally committed to Christ? Paul tells us to present our bodies, and isn't it interesting to know that God is interested in our body? But what he's talking about here is really the sum total of everything we are. He's not just talking about our bodies. Within our bodies is made up of our emotions, our mind, our likes, our dislikes, our will, our spirit, every part of us. When he's saying, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, don't get the idea that God's just wanting your body. He's wanting you. Okay? He's wanting you. So Paul urges us to present all of us, and God is interested tonight in all of you. There are three things that God really wants us to present to Him. Number one, God wants us to surrender our bodies. Before we trusted Christ, we used our bodies for sinful pleasures and purposes. We did everything that we wanted to do with our bodies. We were controlled by the flesh. Amen? We just were. Controlled by our flesh. But now we belong to God. He wants to use our body for His glory. And the Christian's body is God's temple because God's Holy Spirit dwells within. And He wants us to, just as we walked in the flesh before, we were controlled by the flesh, He wants us now to walk in the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God living within to be able to walk. But we must surrender to that. You've got to surrender to walk to the Spirit. The Spirit's living within, but you still got the flesh there. You got the flesh, you got the Spirit. Well, who's going to win out? Which one are you going to feed? If you feed the flesh all the time, the flesh is going to win out. You're going to walk in the flesh. You feed the Spirit, you yield to the Spirit, the Spirit's going to win out. A living sacrifice means a constant, continuous sacrifice, not just an occasional dedication of one's body. That word present there means once and for all, that you present once and for all your body's a living sacrifice. A person does not sacrifice his body to God today and then take his body back into his own hands and do his own thing tomorrow. He's not talking about that. God doesn't want you just for a few hours. God doesn't just want you for a few days. He doesn't want you just while you're young. He wants you. He wants you now and until you leave this world. A living sacrifice means that a person dedicates his body to live for God and to keep living for God. Another thing is the living sacrifice means a sacrifice of a person's body wherever the body is. There's a particular place is not needed. The sacrifice of the body is a living sacrifice. You know, God's not wanting you to crawl up on the altar and sacrifice yourself on an altar and die. That's not what He's talking about, physically die. Now, He does want you to crawl up on the altar and die. He wants you to die to self, but not literally die, all right? Sacrifice of the body is a living sacrifice, and it can be made while the body is living right where it is. And the offering of a living sacrifice is to be made right now while the body is living. God wants to use you in His service. A third thing, a living sacrifice means that the body sacrifices its own desires and lives for God. Sacrifices its own desires and lives for God. The body lives a holy, righteous, pure, clean, and moral life for God. The body does not intentionally pollute dirty or contaminate itself with the sins and corruptions of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We cast that off and wrap ourselves around God's will for our lives. The believer's body is sacrificed for God and dedicated to live as He commands. The fourth thing, a living sacrifice means that the body lives for God by serving God. Lives for God by serving God. It means the body sacrifices and gives up its own ambitions and desires. You don't take a look at it and say, well, this is what I want to do. No. It's what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? What does God need me to do? It's you give up your own ambitions and desires, and it serves God while upon this earth. The body gives itself to the work of proclaiming the love of God and administering to a world that's reeling with a desperate need of being reconciled to God. I mean, we know this world needs to be reconciled with God. And the body sacrifices itself to serve God and Him alone. And the body is dedicated to God as a living sacrifice. So the believer is to dedicate his body to God as a living sacrifice in the home, church, school, work, marketplace, you name it, wherever you're at, that's where God wants you to surrender yourself to live for Him. As you go, wherever you go, you are His, and you live according to His purpose for your life. No matter where the believer's body is, his body is to be sacrificed for God. Sacrificing to God is not something that is just transacted in the church. Now, a lot of people have the mistaken idea, well, you know, I do my Sunday thing and the rest of the week's mine. No. Sacrificing to God is transacted in every act of the human body. The whole universe is the sanctuary of God, and the believer's body is the temple of God. And therefore, every act of the believer's body is an act of service to God, hopefully. It should be our privilege to glorify God in our body. We see, secondly, not only does God want us to surrender our body, but God wants us to surrender our minds. Notice the verse number 2 there. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, the world wants to control our mind. We fight it all the time, don't we? It's in the airwaves. That's why you got to be careful what you watch and what you listen to. I mean, there's a bent toward the world, a bent toward the things of the flesh, just about anywhere that is out there. And I'm talking about even some things that are supposedly Christian. You know, they in that big umbrella of Christian, but it's a Christian that really you won't find in the Bible. The world wants to control our mind, but listen, God wants to transform our mind. The word conform there means to be pressed into the mold. Pressed into the mold. If the world controls our thinking, then we are conformed to it. Okay, we are pressed into the mold of the worldly thinking. If God controls our thinking, then we are transformed. That old way of thinking, that old fleshly way that we've been pressed into the whole time before we got saved, He wants to transform that into His way of thinking. It's not a process, is it? Yeah? The more we're in the Word of God, the more we become like Christ, the more our thinking is affected, and our hearts are affected. And what He told the Philippians in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." We're to have the mind of Christ. We surrender our mind through feeding on the Word of God. God wants our body. God wants us to surrender our mind. Thirdly, God wants us to surrender our will. Our will. Look at the latter part of verse 2. He said, "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God wants our will to be conformed to His will. He wants us to surrender our will. Our mind controls our body. Am I right? Yeah. Mind controls the body. And our will controls our mind. Many people think they can control their will by willpower, but it usually doesn't work. It's only when we yield our will to God that His power can take over and give us the willpower. He does it by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, that's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit being given to us and indwelling us, and we are to submit to the moving of the Spirit in our lives. Not only does He give us the willpower, but He also gives us the want power, if you will. And a lot of what we struggle with is we don't have enough want power. When we surrender our will to His will, we won't want to backbite. We won't want to gossip. We won't want to lie and cuss and steal. We won't want to do those things. We won't want to cover up the fact that we're born again. God will give us all the power that we need to be victorious in Christ. And we surrender our wills to God through disciplined prayer. As we spend time in prayer, we surrender our will to God and pray with the same way the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Remember when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He prayed, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." That's the kind of praying we need to do. Lord, not my will. I know there's not a thing in this flesh that pleases the Lord. And Lord, we need to pray that God would help us to live by His Spirit, live according to His Word. We must pray about everything and let God have His way in everything. Now, the word present means to voluntarily offer up. Present. You present somebody with something, you voluntarily offer it up. Right? It's a gift, right? We ought to voluntarily offer up ourselves to the Lord. We ought to say, "I'm yours, Lord. Everything I have, everything I am belongs to you." And when we do it, it means that we're dedicating ourselves completely and wholly to God. And the reason we ought to do this, Paul says, is because of the mercies of God. And we talked about this a little bit. Because of the greatness of God and all that He's done for us. And all of up to this point is talking about all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And the mercies of God are overflowing. They are beyond anything any of us could ever imagine. And that a holy God would do for us. And really, they far exceed our ability to understand all that God's done for us. Just like that passage that we saw in Ephesians this morning, you know, in the ages to come, He's going to show us a lot more things than what we've been able to figure out during our little lifetime here. Ages to come, we're going to know more about it, but we ought to just think about the things that we can think about with the limited thinking capacity we got. I know we've got sin-tainted minds. I believe we don't use the maximum amount of brain power because of what sin has done to us. But God can overcome that, can't He? He can. If we'll immerse ourselves in the Word of God and we'll ask Him to reveal things to us, the closer we draw to Him, the closer He'll draw to us. The more we'll understand Him, and the more we understand Him, the more we'll want to understand Him, and the more we'll want to be closer to Him. Just think about what God has done for us. He has met our desperate need to get right with Him. He's provided the power to be set free from the terrible bondage of sin that we lived in, and now we can live with Him eternally. What a blessing. He's given us the most glorious purpose in life, and that of proclaiming the good news of God's Son, the gospel, how to be set free from sin, death, and how to live eternally. We know every one of us was on the road to hell, right? Every one of us. But God picked us up, brushed us off, turned us around, you know, cleaned us up. Amen. Some of us had gotten to the end of our rope. We didn't know which way to turn, but God made a way where there was no way. And God is in our lives now. Paul said, because of what God has done for us, and what He is doing, by the way, continues to do in our lives, we ought to be totally committed to Him. If it had not been for the Lord, I want you to just think about it, where would you be right now if it hadn't been for the Lord? I'm glad for His mercies. His grace and mercy brought me to where I am today. We talked about how that abundant mercy this morning. You know, the Bible speaks of that abundant mercy, and boy, do we have abundant mercy in our lives. I'm living this moment right now, and you're living this moment because of Him. Thank God for His loving mercy and grace. Second question, the final question I want us to look at tonight is, what are the benefits of total commitment? What are the benefits of total commitment? Two things. The main thing is that it is pleasing and acceptable unto God. Look again at verse number 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's acceptable. It's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Paul said that the dedication of the body to God is acceptable to God. The word acceptable means well-pleasing, approving, and extremely satisfying to God. God accepts and joys, and I believe rejoices, over a body that's totally dedicated to Him, living for Him. I believe He rejoiced in what Paul was doing for him. Because Jesus was no longer in the world to carry out His will. As He is, so are we in this world. We are His body. And that's why the church is called the body of Christ. We are the organism that carries out Christ's will in this world. Now, this matter of being acceptable, this is the very thing for which believers should seek in their lives, is to be acceptable and well-pleasing to God. We should seek to cause Him to joy and rejoice in our bodies. And our bodies should be so dedicated, so pure and holy and clean and committed and involved in His service that God's heart is pleased and is full of joy and rejoicing over us. And that should be our ultimate goal, to please God. And the question tonight is, are we pleasing God? I think can think of no more important question in life than that one thing. God wants us to please Him. God wants our best. We sing that song, our best, and that's what God wants. God wants our best, whatever that may be, and God is concerned with excellence. Now listen, excellence in God's sight is not about being the best. It's about being your best. I want you to get that. Okay. Excellence in God's sight is not about being the best. This means being your best by God's grace. For this church, it doesn't mean being like some other church. It means being the best that we can be. Every church is different. But the thing is, are we being the best that we can be for Christ? God desires our first fruits, not our leftovers. He is worthy. And when we give Him our best, it will give us peace of mind and it will give us joy divine. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he said these words. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Okay? We want to be accepted of Him while we live, and then when we go to stand before Him, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't we? Now the second thing is our reasonable service. And when we talk about what are the benefits of total commitment, second thing is that it's our reasonable service. The dedication of the body to God is the believer's reasonable service. The word reasonable means when you rationally think about it, when you intelligently think about it, when you think about what's logical. You think about all that God's done for you. What's the logical? When you think about that, what would be the response that should come from a person who God has done all that for? That's what he's talking about, reasonable. What is reasonable? And the word service, of course, means worship and ministry. The idea is that the believer is to use his mind and dedicating his body to the service of God. He's to study the Scriptures, intelligently think about how best to serve God in light of what God's done for him. And he walks through life and he serves the Lord day by day. So as I close tonight, I want to say that the Lord has already done some great things in the lives of all of us who are believers. Yeah. And we ought to give Him some personal praise to that end. But more than that, we should give ourselves a living sacrifice to Him, our bodies, our minds, and our wills. And could I tell you that anything less than total devotion is short of God's glory, short of what God would have for you. You say, well, Brother Jerry, I don't think I can go that far. I don't think I can go as far as being totally dedicated with Him. How far did He go for you? He went all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. Therefore, in light of the mercies of God, of all that God's done for us, let's devote ourselves to God. Let's dedicate and commit ourselves to Him. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we ask You to take these words tonight, Lord. Use them in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to see what a great God that we serve. What a great God that You are. What a wonderful Savior we have. One who was totally committed to seeing that we had an opportunity to get saved. One that was totally committed and showed that total commitment by giving Himself on our behalf. And Lord, the reasonable service on our behalf, back for what He did for us, would just say that we need to do the same. It's our reasonable service. Help our lives to be acceptable to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Don't play hymn of invitation.